What comes to mind when you think of Valentine's Day?
What goes through my mind when I hear Valentine's Day is just every cheesy romantic thing in the books, honestly. It's like the heart-shaped boxes of chocolate, it's the big teddy bears, it's the pink dresses, going out to dinner with roses. That is what goes through my mind, because that's just the cliche understanding of what Valentine's Day is. But in my experience, I think more of just like the memories you make on Valentine's Day and just the special time that you have when you're able to look forward to, in expectation, a day that's perfectly catered to you and your spouse.
I don't know. I think when I used to hear the word Valentine's Day, it was a negative connotation because it felt pretty superficial. You know, like you have chocolates and strawberries and fancy dates, and if you don't do it exactly right, then it's super intimidating. I remember Valentine's Day used to feel really intimidating if there's a right way to do it. And now I think when I think of Valentine's Day, and this probably sounds repetitive, I think of fun. Like when my husband and I have Valentine's Day, we've gone snowshoeing, we've gone to random museums, we've ordered a pizza and sat on the couch and watched Star Wars.
When I think about Valentine's Day, lots of emotions and thoughts just come into view. A lot of positive past experiences with Valentine's Day, and now it's just so profound of how I love my wife on this day and we celebrate our love together.
I will say I feel like she's taught me how to appreciate it more, because it's a national holiday, and I guess for me there's like that like little rebelliousness in the inside that's like, oh, everybody's doing it today, so
let's
I don't
do
want
it tomorrow.
Yeah. So, but I've learned to appreciate and shower her with affection.
When I think of Valentine's Day, I just think of it is pretty over commercialized, I guess. But my big thing is it's just another opportunity to celebrate us and to celebrate our love and how we came together and things like that.
Whether you consider it one of your favorite holidays or your least favorite holiday, we want to encourage you to make your spouse feel special at this time of year. I'm John Fuller, and this is the Loving Well podcast with my friends and Focus colleagues, Greg and Aaron Smalley. And between the two of you, who is the bigger fan of Valentine's Day? Come on now. One of you has to be a big fan.
This question, as we were thinking about it, created conflict, so thanks a lot. So we, you know,
there's conflict even talking about Valentine's.
We debated who really is the bigger fan, and we kind of settled on equally. We both love it because one of our favorite things to do, is at the end of the night, we love watching the romantic comedies, so those rom-coms. We love doing that. Even the Hallmark ones that are so predictable, same storyline, I will say that it makes my heart happy when you get to see this couple.
He just said it, people.
True love always prevails. It just, there's something about it that we like doing that together. So this time of the year, you know, the romance is in the air. We just love all that. Aaron, you know, her love language is gifts. Mm-hmm. And so it's fun for me to try to come up with some fun little gifts around, you know, romance and things that she really likes. And I what I love too is that we always, Aaron and I celebrate because we want to show our kids, especially we want to show others, anyone watching, that we value our marriage enough to celebrate it. And I get people say this to me all the time. Well, you should be doing that all year round. Why do you need, you know, this one retail-driven holiday? And I just roll my eyes and go, whatever. Just go out and have fun. Make it a big deal. Go out and have some dinner and just connect. And that's what we do. And as a matter of fact, for the first time, I think I was almost like 6 weeks ahead this year. This year of having a restaurant reservation ready to go. So I was ready. So
usually
we're very last minute.
And does that make you feel special?
Yeah. I was like, oh, I wonder why he was thinking about Valentine's Day already. He just finished Christmas. And apparently he was preparing for this podcast, and it made him think of, oh, I should plan our Valentine's Day.
It's not too late for our listeners to take heart and make some reservations even today. Just push pause and make the phone call or go online and make the reservation, then and come back. And what I'd love to do now is just kind of dig a little bit deeper for the two of you, because if we saw a little bit of conflict about this, maybe I can stir up some major conflict here.
Or help us repair it.
Yes, smooth it over.
Let's daydream. Let's just say anything is possible. What would Valentine's Day celebrations be for you all? And I'll just say for us, I think, I haven't consulted Dina, my wife, but I think if we were like on an island and we had dinner on the beach as the sun was going down, I think that would be a pretty special time.
That'd be fun.
That would be amazing. And, you know, for dreaming like big, what would the best Valentine's date be? As I was thinking about that, I've always wanted to skydive, but...
But I want him to go first.
No. This new place just opened that it's indoor skydiving.
Oh, that's got to be safer. Wait
a minute. And so we could start there then head towards bigger things. Or even flying to another city and going to dinner at a favorite restaurant.
But what if you flew to another city?
On our private jet?
Yeah. What if you flew to another city and then skydived to your favorite restaurant?
See, there we go.
Now all bets
are off. We're dreaming. This
all right,
is dreaming.
So, Greg, how about you? A little more docile? Perhaps safer. Yeah,
I was thinking. I have tried and failed miserably, like over Christmas, to create kind of a scavenger hunt around presents for the family,
or an escape room,
clues like that. I like that kind of thing. So I think for me, it would be so much fun to kind of create this romantic scavenger hunt. We went to a fun restaurant, and then I gave Aaron the first clue. And that would take us somewhere, and there would be another clue, ultimately maybe leading to a gift for Valentine's Day. I love the scavenger hunt kind of thing. It's fun. So I'd probably do that.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
Maybe, I like that.
You know, the last clue would be to the skydiving place.
And it's not too late for you to do
love.
That for this year, by the way.
Oh,
wherever you made this reservation
I'm sorry,
at.
Greg. Yeah. It wasn't the intent to add to your plate, but there
I appreciate
you go.
That.
Well, we asked a few Focus on the Family staff members about their ideal Valentine's Day and what that would be, and here are some of their reflections.
It depends on the day, I guess. You know, like this year, Valentine's Day falls on a Wednesday, so like my ideal date doesn't fall into a Wednesday time frame, because I would say I love spending time outside. Like my favorite ideal Valentine's Day date would be, especially in the winter months, let's go snowshoeing and order a pizza on the way home. You know, but it's a Wednesday, so I don't think I'm going to be able to go snowshoeing at 6 p.m. So I would say, man, I would really enjoy probably ordering a Pizza Hut pizza, because I'm a sucker for stuffed crust, and watching a good movie that's either really terrible, so it's laughable, or really good, so I cry and I fall asleep easily.
Just spending time over a meal together. We're so busy with three kids that there's not a lot of energy for something more than that. We did take a trip this year to go see a concert somewhere to celebrate our anniversary. So occasionally we will do big ticket things, but I know that she just wants to know that I care about her, and getting out of the house, doing something special, going to one of two or three restaurants that we enjoy together, that creates that space for us to connect with each other.
I think my ideal Valentine's Day date would be, ideally, one full day, not just a night. I would rather, if the Valentine's Day is in the weekday, wait till the weekend, make it a full Saturday thing. And then starting off with something kind of in the morning, maybe get brunch, maybe go for a hike, maybe go to a farmer's market. Just something fun and cute like that, that allows you to kind of like disconnect from technology, maybe leave your phones, whatever. Just going out and doing something intentional, having a good time together, and then doing something kind of fun in the afternoon, whatever that may be. Last year, my husband and I went to like a Penny arcade in our area. That was super fun. Anything that's just a little unique out of your usual routine, but something that is just fun for you both to experience. And then ending it with like a big board game, like one of the 1 to 2 hour long two-player board games. That's definitely my cup of tea. I feel so happy when I'm able to share that love of board games with my husband.
Breakfast, that's it.
Because he knew a long time ago, Valentine's Day and all of the stuff that goes around it, he is my Valentine.
The ideal date for me would be to go to a nice dinner with my wife at some fancy place where they have homey food that's probably really greasy and yummy and salty and delicious. And then a nice dessert, probably something chocolate, just my wife and me, where we can enjoy time together. And then after that, we could go home and sit down with our son at the table and maybe play some board games with him, enjoy some family time together. If there's gifts, we would open gifts right then. But then after that, I think we would all enjoy a movie together, maybe with a couple of friends. I try to include my single friends on Valentine's Day as well. So that would be the time to invite them in, to come over and watch a movie together and all enjoy each other's company.
So I think I am just a very simple person, but we like to go out to eat. We like to get food. And so going to maybe kind of a fancier restaurant, say like fancier, I mean like Texas Roadhouse or the Melting Pot. But going there and then just having some intentional time after that, like going for a walk, or we love botanical gardens. So I know it's the winter, but they have great light displays. So even if it's not flowers, it's something.
You know, we always trying to find ways that we can celebrate our love and each other. But to me, it would be like staying at home, you know, especially because restaurants are packed. The last thing I want to do is, especially if it's a work day, to wait 45 minutes at a restaurant and then have to get my dinner and then come home. I think that we find so many ways to enjoy each other's company at home, playing a game, singing a song, watching a favorite show, maybe ordering to go our favorite meal, but maximizing our time together. I think that that's the big key of it all.
Well, some great perspectives from a few of our Focus on the Family staff members. And Greg, you're a numbers guy, a stats guy. What are some of the numbers about how much money we tend to spend around this holiday of Valentine's
Day? Yeah, it's so fascinating. Total spending here in the U.S., $20 billion.
Oh, my word.
On all of that. The average spending per person, about $150 to $160 per person on gifts.
Per person.
Dinner, flowers, just all that stuff that's going on. You know, chocolates, jewelry, flowers, those are the most popular gift items. They do, you know, obviously greeting card industry. This is their, I think, their second biggest day. I think they'll do about 145 million Valentine Day cards will be exchanged.
Oh my goodness.
So it's a pretty
big deal. It's a big business. Yeah. It doesn't have to be 150 or 160 per person. You can do this cheaper on a shoestring.
You really can. And we, again, just don't get caught up in the retail hype and go, I'm going to buck the system and I'm going to be against the big retailers. You know what? Just remember that this is such a fantastic opportunity to show people that you are honoring your marriage by celebrating. You're going to have fun together, and then you're going to recognize that our marriage is a big deal. Mm. And so this is a day to make a big deal. Spend some money on your marriage.
And to give you some further ideas, we asked more of our staff members about their favorite Valentine's Day memories.
So this is a really funny story because it's not probably what you would think. A number of years ago, it's probably been 10 years or so ago, I was on my game and we went to The Famous, which is a really nice steakhouse in downtown Colorado Springs. And it's pretty pricey. It's the kind of restaurant that we can afford to go to about once every 5 years. You know, you can drop a couple $100 if you, you know, do dessert or have any drinks or anything like that. And neither one of us finished our meal. And so they got us little boxes to put them in a little bag. And we walked out of the restaurant and a homeless guy like comes right at me. And I can see my wife out of the corner of my eye. She gives me a look. And of course he asked for money and I never carry cash. I'm like, well, I don't have any money, but why don't you take, you know, our leftovers from this really awesome Valentine's meal that we both made it halfway through. And as soon as I gave it to him and he left and he said, thank you. My wife's like, the second I saw him, I knew that you were going to give him our Valentine's Day food. And so we still laugh about the time that I gave our Valentine's Day meal to a homeless guy. And lest it sound like I'm bragging about my virtue, I'm not, because I'm not usually that nice a person. But it was just one of those moments where I'm like, well, I don't have any money, but I do have this. So we still have a good laugh over that one.
Yeah, I think my favorite Valentine's Day memory was probably last year. So my husband and I had been in an incredibly busy season. I was finishing up some classes for my master's degree, and he was finishing up applications for law school, and it just felt like a season where we were really not connected. And so we intentionally took some time to go out to a cabin in the woods in Mueller State Park with no electronics, nothing but games and outside and each other. And I think that was my favorite because we had been in such a busy season. So to be in an intentional space where we only had one another, you know, in the beauty of God's creation, that was really, really special to me.
Mine is of our first Valentine's Day. He sent me an Ancestry DNA kit, and I remember being so thrown off, but it ended up really lending itself to my desire to feel known. And so getting to, you know, send in my kit and everything and then get my results was really, really cool, because my dad passed away when I was 5, so I don't really know what his side of the family was comprised of. So getting to have this DNA kit and get those results back and find out like exactly where my dad's from, when his ancestors came to America, like getting to trace it all the way back is so, so cool.
For me, it was, I think, our second Valentine's Day. And one thing that I had learned from Dr. Greg Smalley from one of the marriage events was something along the lines of a cherish list. And he shared a story about how his father had an experience, you know, an argument with his spouse. And as couples, you know, sometimes get into arguments and things like that, he needed a break. And within the moment, he found his father in his office reading off his laptop something called a cherish list. And basically was a reminder of all the things that he loved and appreciated of his wife. And so when he shared that story, Dr. Greg Smalley, I went ahead and began a journey that year before and had created just a list of things that I loved about Sandra, from her physical characteristic traits to her mind, to her heart, to really all the beauty that I see in her and outside of her, and just the amazingness that she is. And so on Valentine's Day that day, I was able to give her my cherished list. And within, I got to read it to her and kind of give her some laughs. Like, put little funny things about quirks, about her, you know, love for ketchup and things like that. My adjustment, you know, as a spouse, like, we buy more ketchup now than we did before I got married. So it's great. But
you're welcome.
She's so worthy of this ketchup and more.
My favorite Valentine's Day memory is probably the first Valentine's Day that me and my husband spent together. We had only been dating a handful of months, and I am traditionally not a big Valentine's Day person at all. I'm not a big romantic, I'm not a cheeseball, but my husband is, and it's so fun. So I just really didn't know what to expect. But he planned this whole date secretly. He wouldn't tell me any of the details. And I think that made it more fun to me to feel like, oh, even though I'm not the one to naturally plan a lot of things, it's fun to be taken on the journey of the plan and just kind of see what's happening. And he planned this fun surprise dinner, and we were grocery shopping, and he made me try and guess what it was, which was very difficult, come to find out. But he knows I love Star Wars very much, so he planned to make these quesadillas that look like BB-8. That was very fun for me, because they tasted good. We got to have fun, like, making them at home, but it was also catered towards one of my biggest hobbies. Was super nice. And then after that, he had set up kind of like the movie watching space. So we had a movie night. He had Star Wars kind of playing when we walked in. He also had fun Star Wars like decorations per se around the room. Nothing crazy, but just enough to communicate to me that he thought about it and he put some intention into it. It was very cute and cozy. And he printed out a Star Wars bingo game that we would play while watching the movie, where if you were able to repeat one of the lines right before it was said accurately, you'd be able to like mark it off the bingo board. It was very fun. And it was just very much my interests and what I like to do. I love games. I love Star Wars. I love cooking. So he just perfectly encapsulated every interest of mine into a date that was just super fun. And I think that just really stood out to me because it was my first Valentine's Day with him. And I think it just made a statement as to like, oh, okay, I do really like this guy. That was a super fun date for a day that I typically don't really care about. So that really spoke volumes to me.
Just last year, I was just recently engaged. And so I wanted to make this Valentine's Day super special. And so I got home early from work and I bought all of this charcuterie board stuff, like all my wife's favorite cheeses and crackers and breads. And I made like the little sandwiches that go on the board. And so I just wanted to make this super special. And she was feeling kind of under the weather. And so she didn't want to go out. So I was like, this is perfect. And I got these like, there was like a habanero jelly that she really liked. And so I got that, put it on the board. I laid it out super nice and neat with sandwiches on the side and all these little bowls for different dippings and hummus and all that stuff. And seeing her face when she came home and there was a movie ready to go and a charcuterie board on the table in front of her, it just made my day to see her so, so in love and happy. And I remember it was starting to bring her to tears. She was so happy about it. And so that was my favorite Valentine's Day of all time.
It's so fun to reminisce about those special moments together as a spouse. And we touched on this briefly, Aaron, but encourage those couples who feel like we can't even afford a dinner out. I mean, how do they celebrate this holiday with all the hoopla in a way that's fitting for where they're at in life?
I think some of the most meaningful and special ways to celebrate Valentine's Day come from the very simplistic ways that we can reminisce about our relationship, reflect on a year in our relationship. There's so many cool online things that you can do, like a slideshow set to music of all the memories maybe of our entire marriage or of the last year. Homemade gifts are awesome, especially cards. I mean, you think about how much a card costs today. Make one. I think it's more meaningful and you can express exactly what you want. Another fun thing, and we were talking about this earlier, is cooking together.
Yeah.
And, you know, just so fun just to be in the kitchen together, you know, plan the menu together and then execute it and make that meal together and then enjoy it together at home. And that's going to be a fraction of the cost of going out. Maybe it's a movie night. You know, there's been a movie that you've been wanting to see. Plan the night out, plan the meal, or plan, you know, that we're going to watch the movie and eat dinner together, or we're going to have snacks and, you know, buy your spouse's favorite snack. I mean, there's just so many simple ways that we can do this. It doesn't have to be hyped up and commercialized. It doesn't have to be expensive. It can be very simple because you're expressing your gratitude and your admiration of your spouse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a little bit of forethought, but you can make this a special time without blowing the bank on it.
Absolutely.
And if you'd like some encouragement along the way to keep your marriage fresh and vibrant and growing, get a copy of the book by Greg and Aaron, Crazy Little Thing Called Marriage. And Greg, why don't you share just a headline or two about why this is such a great book? And yeah. I mean, you wrote it, so I'm giving you a chance to brag on it. Humble brag.
Well, why it's one of our very favorite resources, because Aaron and I did a big research project where we simply looked at all the marriage research out there to see what are the main behaviors consistently shown in the research that creates a strong marriage. So things like communication, really repairing and managing conflict, shared spiritual relationship, intimacy, community, you know, spending time together, all these big behaviors that we need to pay attention to that create a strong marriage. Just each chapter gives very, very simple ways to grow in those areas. So for example, if you're frustrated by the communication, that's one of our favorite chapters because we give probably what Aaron and I feel is the best, simplest way to increase your communication to where you feel deeply known, deeply seen, and it's such an easy thing to do. And so we've got just some simple ways to grow in these big, important areas of creating a strong marriage.
I appreciate your passion, and it really is a terrific resource. Get a copy of Crazy Little Thing Called Marriage when you make a donation, either a one-time gift or a monthly pledge of any amount to the Ministry of Focus on the Family today. You can find out how to make that donation and get the book in the show notes. And related, there's a free marriage assessment that you can take. It really is kind of a top-line overview of the contents of the book, Crazy Little Thing Called Marriage. So take that free online marriage assessment. Over a million people have taken it and found it helpful. You can find the link in the show notes for that as well. Next time, a special post-Valentine's Day episode. And for now, on behalf of Greg and Aaron Smalley and the entire team, I'm John Fuller, and thanks for listening to the Loving Well podcast.